Today, President Biden and the First Lady are in Buffalo, New York, meeting with the families of the victims in Saturday's racist massacre at a grocery store. But Tops Market isn't just any grocery store. For years, Black residents had fought for it to be built. Now the store remains closed as investigators process the crime scene. NPR's Adrian Florido reports on what that means.
Hours after Saturday's shooting, a reporter asked New York Governor Kathy Hochul where people who shopped at the Tops were going to get their groceries now.
There's families that are still finding out that their loved one is not coming home to dinner tonight. People can get their groceries tomorrow.
People who know the city's east side said it seemed the governor didn't realize the store's temporary closure was more than a minor inconvenience.
We don't have much over here. You know, we don't have markets on every corner. You know what I'm saying? We have people that don't have cars.
Therese Smith and her mother are longtime Tops customers. Her mom shops there every Saturday.
Every Saturday.
So when she learned of the shooting, Smith's first concern was her mom okay? Then it was figuring out how to rework her schedule to get her mother food until the store reopens.
It's not going to be easy. We're worrying about food and we're worrying about if we're safe getting the food.
The Tops Market on Jefferson Avenue is in the heart of Buffalo's Black East Side, and it's the only grocery store people who live here can walk to.
I just said, oh my God, that's the only Tops we have in the community.
Della Miller is a food activist who helped convince Tops executives to build the store almost 20 years ago. Before then, she used to set up a produce stand nearby.
Cases of greens and tomatoes and peppers, and we would actually sell them on the street. That was how desperate we were to get fresh produce.
When the Tops opened in 2003, people were thrilled.
You know, we have a Tops, we have a Tops. They were so happy, you know what I mean? Because that was extra dollars in their pocket. Not having to pay for transportation or getting on the bus.
The store became an important hub, a place to meet for a fried fish dinner or to pick up a prescription. There's a bank inside. The weekend's racist attack did not only cut short 10 lives, it forced the community to answer a question that most richer, whiter neighborhoods would never face after a similar attack. Now, how do we eat?
When there aren't food resources, how do people adapt? And what are the social networks and relationships that help them survive in times of crises?
Samina Raja is a Buffalo urban planner, food researcher, and activist. In the last 2 days, it's those social networks, she said, that have been getting people through. People have mobilized.
We have a farmer on the east side who's a Black farmer, trying to figure out when she's going to do deliveries. Another person is trying to figure out where there will be cold storage. They have not slept.
Tops is shuttling customers without cars to other stores. Ride-hailing companies are helping too. So are food banks. No community should have to scramble to find food like this, Raja says. But this, too, is what racism looks like.
The community recognizes that there isn't going to be a response, and that's been the case for too long. They're not going to sit around and figure out who's going to come and bring food to them.
Tops executives have promised the store on Jefferson Avenue will reopen. Jalen Jones, who was standing next to the crime scene tape around the parking lot, said he's glad about that.
If you Black and you grew up in around this neighborhood, you know what this Tops means to you.
But shopping there, he said, won't ever be the same.
He took that from us. He took that from us.
It'll be a place to buy food because there is no other place, because you have to, not because you want to. Adrian Florido, NPR News, Buffalo, New York.